Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today. And we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message.
All right. So like I said, we've been in the State of Mind series. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been having conversations about how to have a healthy state of mind. And so we've talked about several things. And Pastor Kevin's been just really charging us to get real with ourselves when somebody asks you the question, hey, how are you doing? Now, here in the South, we are excellent at putting on a mask of happiness all the time. I'm good. Life is great. Girl, I'm doing great. And so over the last couple of weeks, Pastor Kevin's been saying, honestly, if we could be honest with ourselves, a lot of times when people ask us that question, hey, how are you doing? We say it's okay. And we say, oh, I'm good. But really, there's a lot going on behind that sentence, behind us saying, hey, I'm great. I'm good. So we've been saying over the last couple of weeks that sometimes when we say that, really, we're masking an internal mental battle that we're going with. Any kind of challenge that we're facing, maybe it's a spiritual attack that we're under, and we think we're doing well and we're winning, but in honesty, we're not. We're not surviving like we think we are. And so we're here today to talk about how can we have a healthy state of mind. So if you've got your Bible with you, I encourage you to open it up to Philippians chapter 4. If you don't have your Bible, don't worry. We'll put the notes right there on the screen. And also, if you've got the YouVersion Bible app, you can click on the Events tab, and you'll see City Heart Church, and our notes are right there, too. So you can follow along with us. And we're going to start reading in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he says, let your gentleness be evident to all. For the Lord is near. Verse 6, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, every emotion, every challenge, anything you face, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving in your heart, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me, is the Apostle Paul speaking, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And let's turn again to Romans chapter 12. And this is a very familiar verse if you've been in church for a little bit. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says this. It says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is for your life, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So over the last couple of weeks, like I said, we've been talking about how to have a healthy state of mind. And we said this, how we operate mentally in our mental realm affects our quality of life. And we don't want our state of mind to just be, I'm okay, I'm good, when in reality we're not. And our hearts are broken. We want to get to a place where no matter what's going on, it could be the most chaotic situation. You could be standing in the middle of a hurricane, but something deep inside of you, in your heart, really is okay. You really are okay. You really can say you're good. We want real mental peace. Amen. Raise your hand if you want real mental peace. Okay, great. We're all on the same page. So the main phrase we've been saying for weeks in and weeks out is this. A healthy, free, peaceful state of mind is one that is consistently impacted by the Spirit of God. Let me say that one more time. A healthy, free, peaceful state of mind is one that is consistently impacted by the Spirit of God. So if you didn't know this, we are a spirit. The essence of us, when we die on this earth, we are not here anymore. We're absent from their body, right? And we're present with the Lord. That's what the scriptures tell us. And so what goes to the Lord, obviously our body is here on earth. Our spirits go to the Lord. So we are, in essence, a spirit. We live in a body. We have a physical body. We possess this body. And we also have a mind. And sometimes our minds get the best of us. And sometimes our minds think that they're in control. We have a soul, our will, and our emotions. And so what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks is if we allow our spirit, our newly created spirit, when you become a Christian and you get born again, you might have heard that phrase. What's really happening is your old spirit, the old essence of you that was separated from the Father becomes new. And we're saying that if you let that spirit consistently, positively affect your soul and your body, that's where real mental peace comes from. So over the last several weeks, we've been talking about being consistent because there's somebody else that's very consistent in your life, and that's the enemy. If you don't know it, there's someone that's very real that you can't see, but he's very effective in your life. And he throws flaming arrows at us. And so I guess at the beginning of the series, Pastor Kevin came up here with a bow and arrow and was attempting to help us understand that the enemy is very consistent at his job of disturbing your mental peace. And so he talked about three arrows that constantly get us day in and day out. And the first one is worry, okay? And he said this, Pastor Kevin told us that worrying is allowing your mind to dwell on difficult or troubling, harmful things. So much so that we begin to torment ourselves with disturbing thoughts. Worst case scenarios, constantly going over and over and over it. And so he told us this, that those flaming arrows, that flaming arrow of worry is really an argument. It's a false argument. You know, God's word is true. It's absolute. We can believe it. We can stand on it. He'll never fail us. The enemy knows that. So what he wants to do, just like he did with Adam and Eve, is give you something else to think about, another argument per se. And so we said that an argument is any idea or contradiction to God's promises and God's truth. This is what worry says. Worry says this. It's an argument from the enemy that says, I can handle this situation better than God or without God's help. That's worry. We do it all the time. Sometimes we do it, we recognize that it's happening. And we don't really realize when we start to worry about a situation, especially if we've already prayed about it, especially if we've already given it to the Lord, immediately the enemy comes in. And sometimes, can I just say this? It's not always the enemy. Sometimes he doesn't have to do the work. We do the work for him. We start thinking about things over and over, okay? And so we think to ourselves, and I know, Lord, your word says that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Your word says that you're going to provide for me, right? You own the cattle on 1,000 hills, right? You know, you've got everything that I need. I know that, but you haven't done it yet. So I'm getting a little impatient. I'm starting to worry. What if I just do this? To me, that's worry. What if I just do this real quick? We see that with Abraham and Sarah. My goodness. What if I just take care of this myself? And then we see what happened there. They were waiting on Isaac. They were waiting for him to be born. They decide, we're just going to take care of this ourselves. And they decide to use the midwife to have a baby and Ishmael. And Ishmael was there, but he was not the promised seed. And so because they did that, they ended up wreaking havoc for future generations. And it was a constant conflict between the people of Ishmael's line and of Isaac's line because they took it into their own hands. That's what worry does, okay? Again, worry. I can handle this by myself or without God. And it comes from constantly thinking about those worst case scenarios. What if, what if? The second arrow or the second argument that the enemy is constantly trying to put our way or that we do ourselves is doubt. Doubt says this. Well, doubt is a feeling of uncertainty. I'm just not sure, lack of conviction. We talked about doubt meaning that you're double-minded. One moment you're focused on this, the other moment you're focused on this. One moment you're focused on this, the other moment you're focused on this. After a while, that gets to be exhausting. Doubt makes you tired. It brings fatigue. It can bring physical stress to your body. And we don't even recognize it. Man, why am I so tired today? In the last couple weeks, I've been so tired. Or why do I keep getting sick? Or man, what's going on with me? A lot of times we don't even realize the things that are happening in our mind are being manifested in the natural. Okay? So number two is doubt. And the argument that the enemy is trying to get us to think when we start doubting is this. I can't fully trust God or his word because my mind can't fully reason or logically explain how or why God is asking me to do something. I just want to encourage you guys today. This church is evidence of God telling us to do something that we didn't think was going to happen. Of God telling us to do something that our mind couldn't logically put together. Moving to Mississippi, especially my husband who believed all of the Mississippi burning movies. I mean, when he met me, he was scared to get off the plane. He had some serious, you know, we have our history, okay, Mississippi, but he really thought this was still 1960 when he first visited, and what was that, 2004, when he first visited my family. So, yeah, he wasn't sure about planning a church, a diverse church, a church that is serious and in love with the Lord. We're not doing and stuck in traditionalism. We really just want to be free in Christ Jesus. He wasn't sure. I mean, and neither was I. And so God asked us to do something that our minds just really couldn't fully wrap our heads around. But thankfully, we trusted him enough. and we didn't believe the lie of the enemy that that can never happen. Are you sure about that? We didn't let doubt control us, okay? So that's the second arrow. That's the second false argument. The last one is this, and we talked about this last 2 weeks ago, is fear. Fear is this. It's an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something dangerous is likely to happen, okay? Fear is debilitating, okay? It is a horrible emotion, but unfortunately, so much of us, and I am literally raising my hand right now, entertain and are very intimate with this emotion, okay? This is a part of our daily life. This is the one flaming arrow and argument that the enemy uses time and time again, okay? And this argument says this: my negative feelings about this situation that I'm facing or about to face is more valid, okay? It's so much more true than what God says about me. I'm gonna say that one more time. Fear's argument from the enemy, and even from ourselves again, is this: is that the negative feeling that's causing me pain, what I'm feeling right now about this situation, is more valid than God's will and word for my life. And so today, as we wrap this series up, I want to encourage you, if you are facing fear, if you're facing doubt, or you're facing worry, there is a solution. And the answer is Jesus Christ and our knowledge of him. So we're going to talk today about having the mind of Jesus Christ. Because if we can wrap our minds around and accept the free gift that God has given us in Christ Jesus, then we can overcome the attacks of the enemy. We can even overcome our bad habits of allowing worry, doubt, and fear to take over our spirits, which are really in control, and not allow our emotions to overwhelm us and to cause us to be in fear. But we can really walk in victory. Amen? If you want to walk in victory, put your hands together because we're about to talk about it. All right, it's good. You're awake. All right. So how do we combat worry, doubt, and fear? We've got the mind of Christ. When we were in Bible college a few years ago, we had this teacher who was a worship leader like myself. And that means that she was loud and had a big personality. And so I loved going to her class because she was also, you didn't know what she was going to do. You didn't know what she was going to say and how she was going to say it. And so she was teaching on the Holy Spirit, who he is, what he does. And she would stand at the end of the stage and she'd just be talking like this. But you knew she was about to be up to something. And she'd just be talking about, oh, in John 15, we learn about the Holy Spirit and his characteristics. And he talks about how you're going to know his voice and Jesus is going to leave and he's going to send the Holy Spirit and he's going to just tell you everything you need to know directly from Jesus. And all of a sudden, she would just start screaming, literally, you know him! You know the Holy Spirit! You know his voice! And we'd be like, okay, we got it the first time. And it would happen every class. She'd randomly catch you off guard and she would shout it. You know him! You have the Holy Spirit! You know his voice! And then she'd make us stand up and say it with her. Touch your heart. Say, I know him! I know the Holy Spirit! I know his voice! Right. Now, after a while, we went to a very charismatic Bible college, and people got excited. They start running around and being, you know, just full of life, just how I put that. And it was really powerful because she said, even if you don't believe it, when you leave school years from now, you're going to remember crazy, you know, dynamic personality up here saying that. You're going to remember what I'm telling you because a time is going to come where you're going to need that. We're going to need to know that you know that you know that you know him. So I want to encourage you guys this morning, if you are a believer in this room, if you said the salvation prayer, you've committed your life to Lord, not only do you know him, but you have the mind of Christ. And that is the tool. Amen. Yeah, that is the tool. That's the tool that's going to help you overcome fear, doubt, and worry. Remember, a healthy, free, peaceful state of mind is one that is consistently impacted by the Holy Spirit that we all have. To have peace of mind, we've got to begin to use the mind that God has given us. This is probably a harsh statement, but we got to wrap our minds around it. Every time we say, I don't know, or every time we do the what if and go over the worst case scenarios, every time doubt comes in and we allow it to overcome us, every time fear comes in and we allow it to overcome us, it's almost like we're saying to the Lord, thanks, but no thanks. Everything you've done for me, everything you've given me, I don't need it. Okay, and I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm trying to get your attention. Because you need to understand that you have everything that you need in life and godliness. That's what the scripture says. You have the mind of Christ. You've got the Holy Spirit. You know him. You know his voice. You just got to use it. Amen? All right, so let's talk about, amen, let's talk about what is a mind. I know you know this, but sometimes it's good to just look at definitions, okay? So the Webster definition of a mind is this. It's the element of a person that enables them to be aware of the world. Say aware. Aware of the world and their experiences. It enables the person to think and to feel and to just have an awareness. In other words, this is Drea's words, the mind of Christ is this. It's having an awareness and having access to Christ's understanding and being made aware of God's intentions, plans, and purposes for your life. The reason why I'm saying every time we say, oh, I don't know, or I just don't know what's going to happen, or I'm worried about this, is us slapping God in the face and pushing away what he's given us is because he's given us access to an awareness. Now, I use the word access on purpose because if you don't access what you actually have in your hands, it's not going to be any benefit to you, okay? And I know that, unfortunately, from experience of having every tool needed to be successful in a situation and just not using those tools. And so, therefore, the benefit of those tools, I didn't access it. You know, it's kind of like, and this is funny because Tamara and I joke about this all the time, I think about working out all the time. I mean, almost every day. I'm like, man, I believe it. I believe that if you eat right, you eat a salad versus some Jimmy John's that I love, or pizza, or Chick-fil-A. Lord Jesus, we thank you for Chick-fil-A. If I eat a salad versus the number one, you know, crispy chicken sandwich, then I'll probably be doing better for my body. I'll be healthy. If I go work out versus sit on the couch and binge watch Netflix, I'll have a healthier life. I know that. I believe that. But does that change my actions? No, it does not. It does not, okay? But I know it. I believe it. I am fully aware. I'm fully aware of that, but I don't access the tools that I have that can actually help me be healthy. It's the same way with the scripture. It's the same way with what we're talking about right now. We have the mind of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. If you are a believer in this room, I'm going to keep saying that because I feel like I need to repeat it. You have everything that you need right here on the inside of you. You've just got to use it. Amen? All right, so let's look in the Word where it talks about the mind of Christ. So I want you to see it for yourself. And I got a lot of scripture, and the reason for that is this. Please do not take my word for it. I want you to see for yourself what God says about everything that he's given you, okay? If you didn't know, when they put the Bible together, okay, obviously the Old Testament was written way before the New Testament. And when the church was established, people came together, and this is real layman's terms here, okay, and put a committee of people together. And one of the theories and concepts that they thought about was, all right, we know that this particular scripture is valid if we keep seeing concepts over and over and over again. And so they knew if someone wrote something 100 years ago and then 50, then that person died and that generation died off, but then another prophet wrote and said the same thing, then maybe God is trying to tell us something. You know, when we're in school and we're learning how to read and context clues, if the author keeps saying the same thing, or if we see the same plot characterization just kind of play itself out, maybe that's a theme the author wants us to get. Maybe that's something the author wants us to know. So I like to use several scriptures from Old Testament and New Testament that show you the same thing because I want you to understand God is trying to tell us something because he keeps saying it over and over and over again. Amen? Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is where we see that term mind of Christ first. Starting in verse 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says this. The person without the Spirit. Remember I said a new created spirit, the Holy Spirit comes into those of us who have committed our lives to Christ. We've been born again, okay? We're in relationship with Christ. So now we're talking about people who don't have the Holy Spirit, okay? The person without the Holy Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolish. And they can't understand the things that come from the Spirit of God because they're discerned only through the Spirit. Verse 15, the person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. For who can know the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This same scripture, a few verses up, is a very popular scripture that talks about no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no heart has understood. And a lot of people just stop right there. But what they don't realize is after that little phrase of no eye has seen and no mind has understood this, and so we're never going to know what's going to come. A lot of people would say that, but that's theologically wrong, because the next verse says, but we have the mind of Christ. And so again, I want to say, if you're in this room and you are a believer, you have the mind of Christ. You have the Holy Spirit. You know him. Okay, so how do we become aware? I love for preachers and pastors and leaders to tell me, okay, I thank you for telling me what I have. Now, how do I use this thing? Okay, so how do we access the mind of Christ and how do we become aware? Well, we've already read through the Holy Spirit. Verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 2 says this: the person without the Spirit doesn't accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolish. Okay, you cannot understand the things of the Spirit, because it's only discerned through the Spirit. How do we access and understand God's intentions for our lives? It's through the Holy Spirit. And so I want to encourage you guys today, if you know the Holy Spirit, if you're open to the Lord and you're reading your word, you're spending time praying with him, keep doing that. Because the Holy Spirit is going to start to reveal things to you when it comes to reading your Bible and things like that. And if you're not, start today. It's never too late to do that. Because the Holy Spirit is a person. And he's a person that cares and loves you. And all he wants to do is help you be successful in life. And so we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit of God to help us access all that God has for us. If you don't know, and I say this a lot, our Christian walk isn't just about, and I say that to not diminish this, it's not just about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. That's just step one of the whole process that God has for us. He had to leave this earth so that he could do the thing he really wanted to do, which was send the Holy Spirit into our lives so that we can live and thrive here on the earth. When he left after resurrecting, which was a miracle in and of itself, that was proof that he was God. He said, wait here, I'm going to send you something that's going to change the trajectory of your life, that it's going to change how you think. It's going to change how you process what your soul is doing, how you get through tough times. Because let me just tell you, as a church, 2018 has been rough, okay? It's been tough. We have lost loved ones through death, lost them in relationships. We've lost people to this church, and it's been hard. It's been hard. Let me just be real. But if we did not have a relationship with God and a knowledge and a knowing of the Holy Spirit and knowing that we had someone here vouching for us right here in our heart, I don't think we would have made it as a family, as a church family. And so I want to encourage you today. I want you to have that. If you don't have that, I don't want you to leave these doors today, at least not even understanding that Jesus didn't just say, I'm going to save you from your sin because you're ratchet and I just want to take care of you. No, he's saying, listen, life is hard. We jokingly have a list of t-shirts, and one of those t-shirts saying is going to say, come to City Heart Church because life sucks sometimes. I mean, it does. Sometimes life is really, really tough, but Jesus knew that, right? And so he wanted to do anything that he could to help you when the challenges come. Because if you don't know, they are coming and they will come. And he knew that. And so he wanted to send a piece of himself to be with you at all times to help you know that you're never alone. Amen? All right, so let's just look real quick. Remember, we're learning about how to have a healthy state of mind. How do we have peace of mind at all times? Well, you got to know the Holy Spirit first, because he's going to be the key to unlock that mind of Christ that we all have. So let's get to know the Holy Spirit just a little bit. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. This scripture is the basis of our church. It's why we're called City Heart Church, because we believe if your heart can change, it can affect you as an individual, but then God can use you to affect other people. And if you can affect other people, we can begin to change an entire city, okay? So this scripture is key. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27 says this, I, the Lord, is speaking. He speaking to Ezekiel to tell the people, I will give you a new heart. I will put my spirit in you, and I will take your stony, stubborn heart, raise your hand, that's me, and give you a tender and responsive heart. And I'll put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. Ezekiel 36, 26 is telling us that when we get that new created spirit and the Holy Spirit comes in and helps us, we go from being hard-headed to tender-hearted, okay? We go from not being able to understand the scripture that we're reading to all of a sudden we're getting it and we can then respond to the Lord because we've been made new, amen? This is one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit taking us, especially when we're facing challenges or when we start to feel ourselves get stiff and not want to be vulnerable. The Holy Spirit comes in and helps us be tender and responsive to the leadership of the Lord. He helps us to be able to follow God's decrees for our life because God puts boundaries in our lives so that we can be successful in life. He's not trying to limit your individuality. And I feel like a lot of people feel like that with Christianity. You're trying to help me to not be me. Don't tell me I can't be me. God's saying, no, I actually created you. The quirkiness about you and the artsy part of you and the dreamer in you, the innovator in you, I created that. I actually want to help you mold that and shape that so that you can reach your deepest, amazing dream. Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit is there to do. All right, let's look at one more scripture about the Holy Spirit. John 15 and verse 15. This is what we were talking about. We talked about an awareness. When you have the mind of Christ, you can now be aware of God's intention. And this is what the Holy Spirit helps you do. No longer do I call you servants. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples right before he's about to be crucified. For the servant doesn't know what his master is doing or thinking. But I've called you friends. Did you know that Jesus calls you friends? That's awesome. For all that I have heard from the Father, everything I know, I have made known to you. And as we continue throughout that scripture, he goes on to talk about the Holy Spirit. And all the Holy Spirit's job is to continue to make known to us everything that Jesus made known to the disciples. Everything that Jesus wants us to know. We get that through the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right, remember, I'm going to keep saying this. Because the teacher in me is like, I want you to know it. To have a healthy, free, and peaceful state of mind is one that is consistently impacted and affected by the Holy Spirit. Peace of mind comes when we begin to use the mind and the tools that God gives us. You have the mind of Christ through the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy verse 1 and 7 says this, God does not give us the spirit of fear, we know this, right? But of power, love, and a sound mind. Basically, God isn't giving us a fear, a spirit that's going to make us afraid and we can't move. He's giving us the Holy Spirit, and the characteristic of the Holy Spirit is power. It's a spirit that works, powerful. It's not dead. It's not dormant. He's alive and kicking and waiting for you to let him be himself. A spirit of power, a spirit of love. We talk about this a lot at City Heart. Listen, one heart matters. We care about any heart that walks through those doors, even the toughest heart. It's not my job to police your behavior. It's my job to love you and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. So the Spirit of the Lord helps you to operate like that, helps you to love the coworker that gets on your last nerve, helps you to love the family member that you secretly hide from at Thanksgiving. The Spirit of God helps you to love even your spouse in those challenging times. Your children, your mom or dad, whatever it is, the Spirit of the Lord helps you to do that. It's not Drea's spirit, it's the Holy Spirit operating in my life. And when I let him affect my spirit, that's where peace of mind comes. I'm able to walk that love out. Amen? All right, we don't have the spirit of fear. We got the spirit of power, spirit of love, and a sound mind. I say this scripture to myself when I'm getting stressed out or when I'm feeling crazy, where that doubt starts to come in, right? Scripture tells us that when the enemy starts throwing doubt, he starts to throw any type of arrow our way, we're supposed to resist him. How do we resist him? We resist him with the word. This is one of my scriptures. When I start to feel like I don't have a sound mind, I say to myself, okay, I have the Holy Spirit. I've got a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. What's a sound mind? It's a calm, well-balanced, disciplined mind that is self-controlled. That is the characteristic of the Holy Spirit. That is the characteristic of a mind that's at peace. We have, You have the mind of Christ, okay? Again, God has given you everything that you need for life and godliness. And with the Holy Spirit, with the mind of Christ, you can do anything. There's honestly nothing that can stop you. The scripture talks about that there's nothing that's impossible with God. Without God, everything is impossible. You can try, but you will eventually fail because we're human. We will make mistakes. But with the Lord, we can do anything. You can honestly do anything. The thing that makes you the most nervous about, and you think, I don't know if I can do this. Oh my gosh, I don't know. For first time moms, the idea of pushing that baby out of that small little area, I was really worried. I was having a panic attack when I was pregnant with Christina, and it was like, we're going to the hospital. I was thinking to myself, this is crazy. Who does this? Who willingly signs up to do this? It's crazy. So that same fear, if you have that fear for the ladies in the room, that is the same fear that sometimes comes over us when God, when we allow the Lord to speak to us and he starts to tell us and show us things that we think are crazy and don't make any sense. With man, maybe those dreams are impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. I just want to encourage you. You have the mind of Christ. If you're a believer in this room, I feel led to say this. If you've made a commitment to the Lord, he has given you everything that you need to do all that it is that he's challenging us to do. But what have you done with the thing in your hand? I don't have my phone, but I'm just going to use this as an example. This is our Connect card. If you're new here and you haven't filled it out, please fill it out. But this is our Connect card, right? It's in my hand. It's in my possession. Wouldn't it be crazy if I let this thing that I possess dictate the owner of it, okay? Wouldn't it be crazy if I was constantly looking at this for direction? This is an inanimate object, okay? It's not alive, right? Or our phones, right? Let me see my phone. Thank you. Wouldn't it be crazy? Oh, I got a lot of text messages. that the thing that I own became the thing that now begins to control me. I possess this, okay? I own this. I tell it what to do and when I want it to do something, okay? We are a spirit. We live in a body, but we possess our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions. And a lot of times what happens is we let the thing that we possess, that we own, dictate the owner. And I'm going to tell you today that if that's you, it's okay. We all go through that. We all find ourselves bound up and controlled by the thing that we actually possess. We have emotions. We have a mind. But we should be allowing the Holy Spirit, together with our new created spirit, influence and affect the decisions that we make with the thing that we possess, okay? Influence the choices that we make, how we choose to use our mind, how we choose to use our emotion. Okay, I'm a female, so I can only talk about female things, but I refuse to believe that women are just naturally emotional and they cannot control themselves. That is a lie from the enemy. That's a false argument. We have the Spirit of God. We can control when our emotions are crazy. You know, I just had a baby. She's a year old. And so hormonally, yes, crazy town, okay? But prior to having Christina the first time, I just pray, Lord, I thank you that I have the mind of Christ. I thank you that I have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, and I'm not going to have to go through the things that other women go through. And with Rachel, my second baby, I did have a little bit of, after she was born, it was tough, but I kept speaking the word over my life, speaking the word over my mind, reminding myself that I have got a powerful spirit living on the inside of me. That spirit is speaking directly to the Father and telling me what I need to do, what I shouldn't be doing to keep me in a peaceful, healthy state of mind. Listen, you have the mind of Christ through the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right, we're going to wrap up. And Brian, you're almost ready. Here we go. He's on it. Peace of mind comes when we use the gift that God has given us. The mind of Christ is life-giving. What God's trying to do in our lives, he's not trying to wreck your life. He's trying to give you life. Tova said it so eloquently. Like this love that he has for us, when we sing that Reckless Love song, it's to set us free. It's not to bound us up. The mind of Christ is life-giving. It's not life-sucking, okay? So when we find ourselves in situations where we start thinking things that cause us worry, that cause us to doubt, that cause us to fear, we then realize, oh, maybe, or we should, maybe the mind I'm operating in isn't the mind of Christ. Maybe I'm still operating in my old way of doing things. Because we see throughout the word, the apostle has to remind people, hey, you're going to have to take off your new self and put on your, take off your old self, I'm sorry, and put on your new self. Because when you get saved and born again, your heart does change, but you still possess this old phone, okay? It's like you get the new iPhone 10, but you're still trying to operate the old iPhone 6. Does that make sense? So when we get saved and we give our life to the Lord, sometimes we think, great, I'm done. I've done everything I need to do. God, let's do it. But we don't recognize that the thing that we own is still trying to operate on an old operating system. And so we have to renew our mind. That's why we read Romans 12 in verse 2 in the beginning of this message. And it says this, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, once you've renewed your mind, you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is for your life. We have a part to play. Listen, Jamora said this, God's done it all. He done put all the chips on the table. This is all that I've done. And sometimes we stop right there and just receive this fruit, this new life. But then we wonder, how come I'm not seeing the benefits of this new life? Worship was amazing. I had this amazing experience, whether it was at a conference, whether it was at church, or even at home. And you're like, wow, what's next? And then you never do anything from that. What happened is we haven't renewed our mind. We haven't begun to tap into the characteristics of Jesus Christ and to that new mind and start to understand. You can't begin to think like God if you don't know him. You can't begin to operate on something in a new mind. Let's just say this is the mind now. I can't begin to operate this if I don't take time to learn it. If I don't take time to learn all the features, right? I can't even fully use this the way it was intended if I don't know anything about it. Okay? You have the mind of Christ. You have the Holy Spirit. But if you don't do anything to learn more about him, if you don't do anything to read the scriptures and figure out, well, what is the Holy Spirit like and what is God like and how did he make decisions? It's going to be really difficult to use the mind that God has given you because you couldn't even recognize it in a lineup because you don't know it. And so I just want to encourage you, get in the word. Start to find scripture. Listen, we've got the world at our access. All we have to do is Google it. If you want a scripture on anger, Google it. If you want anything you're looking for, what does the Bible say about this? Use what you've got to your advantage so that you can begin to start to know God, start to know what he's done for you, right? So that you can use it. And I'm going to close with this. Right thinking, okay? Using the mind of Christ that I'm saying that you have, using the Holy Spirit that I'm saying that you have is a choice. We're not robots. God did not create us to give you, hey, I'm going to give you the mind of Christ, and I'm going to turn you into a Manchurian candidate and make you do whatever it is I want you to do. That's not how this works. God is saying, hey, if you love me, I want you to choose me, right? If you're married in the room, if you're in a relationship in the room, don't you want the person that you love to do something for you because they love you, not because they feel obligated or they feel pressured by you? No. God feels the same way. We have a choice. He's saying, I've got everything that you need to be successful in life, but you've got to choose it. And so in order to understand and to really have and to operate the things that he's given us and to operate with the Holy Spirit, we got to get to know him. Right thinking is a choice. Following Christ is our choice. Not accepting the enemy's argument is our choice. A happy, healthy, peaceful state of mind is our choice. He's already done it for you. He's already given it to you. He's excited to help you unlock all of his intentions for your life. You just got to make a choice. Amen. Let's bow our heads.
Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.